maybe he's still making up his boots. Who knows, man?
Wait a minute. Somebody's music.
That's familiar music, brother.
They've exploded. Here's the diamond.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Coming Down the Aisle podcast. I'm your host, Bradley, alongside my co-host, Danny.
Hello, everyone.
So, we're here on episode 2. We managed to make it all the way from last week. How are you doing, Danny?
Not too bad. Less nervous than last week, anyway. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. So, I think we just want to start off with this episode just kind of to say a thank you to the guys and whoever's followed us over social media, through listening to us on our channels with our first episode. It was highly successful in our view. What's your thoughts, Danny, on week one?
Aye, great, actually. It's obviously our first time doing something like this, eh? So it was nerve-wracking, to say the least. I was a bag of shite, to be honest. But we got through it. We got some listeners. We heard some feedback from people as well, which has been great.
Yep.
So we're really thankful for that, because it can only make us better at the end of the day if we're hearing things like that and you guys are listening. So thanks for week one. Hopefully you're progressing into this week as well.
Yeah, and we hope that week two or episode two today will be even better than last week. And again, just for both of us, a massive thank you to the people through social media who's taken the time out of their day to listen to episode one. As I say, we've never done this before, so it means a lot. We hope that we can bring you some education, some fun, and just have a good time, really, going forward.
A bit of a laugh
is the real purpose in this podcast, which we probably were too nervous last week to really let ourselves go. But yeah, we're just going to kick off. We're not going to do any sort of massive introduction to the show today. Well, the format will change week to week. Basically, we're going to kick off. We're going to start by covering just what's happened hot off the press is Hell in a Cell from Sunday. So, without further ado, Danny, Hell in a Cell. We had some predictions in there last week.
We did, aye. I've forgotten who I've predicted. But I think I know who you went for.
Yeah, so the opening match was Roman versus Jey Uso in an I Quit Hell in a Cell match.
Well, to be fair, we both went for Roman in this one.
Yeah.
Because we would have been bald if it never, like...
Aye, that was... I think that was pretty much a no-brainer with the Roman one. What did you think of it?
Right, I'm going to tell you, because we've not spoken about this.
No, and that's the thing. We don't speak about any of our reviews. We don't watch it together, unless it's like it'll be a big event. But we've not watched Hell in a Cell together. We've not even spoke. We try and avoid any sort of dialogue with each other, just so it's fresh and you're hearing it straight on. When the minute we hit record, you're hearing it live, our opinion, and it might clash. So,
normally before the podcast, just to give you an insight, it would be, if there was a big event, a pay-per-view, or even if it was Raw, Bradley would text me about 5 a.m. with some comment on something that had happened, or I would do the same with him. But this time we've agreed to kind of keep it fresh and go for not talking about it until right now, so as of right now we don't know what each other's going to say about it. So I'll start with the Hell in a Cell. First of all, I was surprised that opened, actually.
I was as well, but I think the way the show ended, it had to end that way. So
I wouldn't have had them on last anyway, but to be fair, watching it through, I think that kicking off in that way, it was kind of interesting. If it had been like possibly Elias and Jeff starting, yeah, like everybody would have switched their tellies off, it might have been.
I agree with you, and I think when you've got a pay-per-view and it's 3 hours and there's 3 Hell in a Cell matches on the card, it only makes sense to have them every 90 minutes, which is kind of what they've done and what they tried to do. So what was your overall thoughts with Roman versus Jey in the I Quit match?
Just briefly, like, I personally, the way I saw it, Jey came out pretty aggressive. I think he's trying to sort of perceive himself as trying to stand up to Roman quite a lot in that, and obviously that's just the way it's going. But it's a bit of back and forth, but I thought it was quite slow. There was a lot of, like, talking in that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think they do that because the atmosphere in the arenas are different, so they need to kind of add something to it.
Yeah, and that's what I put in there as well, that it went half an hour, and it didn't need to, like, from the opening of the show to this match concluding, it was about 46 and a half minutes. So that's build up, promos, Paul Heyman's interview at the start. And I agree that Jay came out quite fresh and he was looking like he was quite intimidating. He was trying to, like, he was almost like standing up to your big brother, although it's his cousin, and showing that he's worthy.
His cousin uncle.
His cousin uncle, aye.
Brother or sister.
Whoever it is, he's fighting somebody. But I think I wrote that down as well as one of my notes is, I like what Roman does in the match when he's talking to him quite a lot, and the audio was kind of off a few times where he didn't quite pick up what he was saying.
Aye.
But I think that's the whole point of it. We've seen it in a few Roman's matches now since he's been a heel. He's trying to... He's already got the match won, and a conventional 1-2-3 or submission, that match would be over and done with, but because it's an I Quit match, he's kind of dragging it out, showing he's a heel by just continuously badgering away at Jay.
Aye, because it's an I Quit match as well, that's probably why it was a bit longer.
What do you think was missing for this I Quit match that should have been in it? It was near there this time. And I don't know if it's because there were no crowd, but what should always be in an I Quit match conventionally for me or for you?
Well, it's actually the first I Quit match in 5 years.
Yes, it is actually.
It's the first ever in a Hell in a Cell.
It is. What they didn't have was a microphone.
I remember that for The Rock and Mankind.
Yeah.
He never actually said that he faked it.
They'd done the audio clip because he couldn't see his face. So it was kind of like that.
Was that Royal Rumble?
Royal Rumble 97. Is it 7 or 8? 98.
98, I think.
Aye, 98. Royal Rumble 98. That was quite a brutal match. Mankind took 13 unprotected hair chair shots to the head that night.
Hair chair shots?
Hair chair shots.
By the way, just on that, if you've not seen it, Royal Rumble 1998, The Rock and Mankind I Quit match.
Absolutely
great,
excellent.
Great pay-per-view. Check it out for sure.
Some fantastic spots. And if you've never seen the documentary Beyond the Mat, again, really late 90s documentary. Not exposing wrestling, kind of going behind the scenes. It's probably the first time you actually get to see behind the curtain. And you get to see Mick Foley like setting himself up for that match and seeing the aftermath. So it's quite insightful. But anyway.
Aye, a microphone. I never even thought of that, actually, to be fair. Well done.
So, opening match, what do you think?
Another wee bit. It was quite... For me, it was slow.
Aye.
Like, well, I think we probably just covered that in the way things
were spaced. They hit him with three spears.
Aye, three spears, and... it was so slow. And I think... at one point, Jay missed... Rapping Roman.
Yes. It was almost like Miro.
I was going to say that.
If anybody didn't watch All Elite Dynamite for last week, AEW Dynamite for last Wednesday, if it was Wednesday, it was the week before, I can't actually remember. Miro, formerly known as Rusev for his WWE days, goes to put the camel clutch in. Just go and look for it. Just type in Miro camel clutch. I kid you not, you will fail. If you don't laugh, there's something wrong with you.
So he missed wrapping him up with that, and I think Roman tried to chuck the stairs in as well at one point.
And also got that as well, that Roman absolutely ruined it when he tried to get the stairs in as well. He took it quite casually though, he didn't get frustrated.
It was fine.
Here's another thing. Why do you think they influenced the strap in this match?
Why do you think that...
Why do you think they used the strap?
Or something going forward.
So, historically, the Samoans, the Wild Samoans, who actually come out at the end, Afa and Sika, were renowned for having strap matches back in the day, and it's the Anoa'i family tradition. They used to always have strap matches. One of the last strap matches that I can remember in WWE, I believe, was Umaga versus CM Punk. So I think it was a bit of a throwback to their old cousin Fatu and back to the old traditional ways that the Samoans used to do it. So I thought that was kind of a nice touch.
Just to touch on that, explain what a strap match actually is.
So a strap match will change depending on what territory or what promotion are making it. If it's going conventionally, both wrestlers will be strapped at the wrist with probably a 20-foot strap, leather strap between them, which they can utilise but they can't escape during the match. You can either have it as 1-2-3 submission, and there is a strap match where it's maybe more like a Texas bull rope match where you'll need to touch all four corners of the ring posts without that being broke. But again, a strap match is literally your tie. It's like a dog collar match. Cody and Brody Lee had one a couple of weeks ago. You're basically joined to your opponent through an object, and you can use that object any way you want. But I just thought the strap being used in this match was actually quite exciting and quite old, like an old school throwback.
So going forward, then that might have had some
bearing on where they go.
Aye, could potentially. One thing I never knew that actually, so that's class as well. One other thing, like obviously, if you watched it, Roman absolutely batters Jay.
Yes, senseless.
And then there was needless interference for an I Quit match. I Quit matches I remember are brutal, right? Like we just spoke about the Rock and Mankind, they're absolutely like chucking folk off of electrical circuit boards and whatever it was and all that sort of stuff.
Handcuffed,
battering in the head with chairs, all that. And then there's all of a sudden, because Jey Uso's not feeling very well, that Tintin clown turned up again in the same suit.
Oh, yeah.
And then a couple of like officials, whoever they are,
trying to make show sympathy for Roman. Make Roman see light, actually, is what they're trying to
show
do.
Show sympathy to Jey.
Yeah.
Aye.
What I do like is, even Paul Heyman, I didn't even know if you caught this, Paul Heyman at one point has got his hands on his head, leaning against the cage, and he's almost like he's even disgusted in what Roman's actually doing in the ring. Which I thought was good, because Heyman's historically a sinister bastard. For the days of ECW, all the way through everyone that he's managed, I just thought Heyman adds that extra layer, and I think Roman really, really works well with him.
Even before, when his interview was being quite dark and speaking slow and sadistic about what but Roman's got to do to him and that, so he looked surprised. But then he like gives Jimmy a wee slap when he runs down as well, and then all of a sudden Jay's okay,
yeah,
and then quits. I thought it wasn't a great end,
Roman, just before that, there is a point where Jay has a bit of a rally in the match, and he has Roman pretty much out cold in a conventional match. Roman probably be beat, and the ref's continuously asking Roman. I really like what Roman says when he's like, "Do you quit?" And Roman eventually, after about 40 seconds, says to him, "The head of the table never quits." I thought that was a cool sentence for Roman. I thought it kind of again adds to that.
The whole tribal chief thing.
So I'm enjoying that. But the finish, again, Roman applies this deadly guillotine, and I like the way he does the guillotine, because he doesn't just hold you in a headlock, he wraps his weight around you. Legs get locked around you, it looks legitimate. If he's someone that size holding onto your neck, you're screwed.
You're a big baller.
But for me, I think, going forward, I see Jay and Jimmy being bigger than they ever were before in terms of being more over. I think this has done the world of good for both of them, and I like how they've still added Jimmy into the storyline.
Is he still injured, actually?
He's still injured, but they've put him in a clever way.
Aye.
So, for me, I think the Usos will certainly propel themselves forward off the back of this, and Roman, again, it's the Roman I've wanted to see for a while.
He's doing class, and it's definitely what he needed, and I think maybe it is the right time. Maybe a few years back, even the, like I said last week, I think that maybe he wouldn't be in the position he's in now.
Yeah.
If they had done it a few years ago, so it's good. I'm happy with it.
I think the ending as well, Afa and Sika.
That was good. To see that.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect them. I thought they would be like being, like pissed off.
No.
Or something like that, but they like.
But Sika being his dad, Afa being Sika's tag team partner, it was kind of like almost a look of disgust on Jimmy and Jay in the ring at the end as well.
If I'd not been hard enough.
But no, for me, I enjoyed that. I thought it was a really good opener and it had me intrigued.
What would you give out of 10?
Out of 10? And maybe 10's maybe a big, if we've got 5, right, we've got a match 5 star rating.
Whatever.
I'd give it close to a 4. I'd give it a 4 for storytelling. And serving its purpose, I'd say 4. The only reason I wouldn't give it a 5 is because the wrestling inside the ring wasn't amazing.
Well, that's what I mean. If that's the case, I would give it 2 then. Because I thought it was too slow for me.
That's fine. I think it was more of an angle than a match again. That's what we're kind of pushing for here.
They have to tell a story until whenever The Rock decides to show up. But
which we hope is sooner rather than later.
But, aye, it was...
The drive-by with the steel steps was a cool spot as well.
Aye.
Second match was Elias and Jeff. I've not got much on this.
To be honest, I didn't really want to cover
so
many things in depth anyway, because we can kind of just quickly go over it. I didn't expect, it was DQ, so Jeff got disqualified for smacking Elias with a guitar.
And that's just their way of not wanting to pin either one of them, really.
Aye, because it's going to go on for a while, I think, anyway, just to give them a bit of beef and stuff, because they've kind of they've started it, so they're going to go somewhere, obviously. Yeah.
But it's not. I'm not going to spend any more time on it, to be honest.
Nah, Elias's powerbomb was impressive. That's about
the one when he had Jeff on his shoulders and spun him round. That was probably the best spot of the match. Or when it looked like Jeff was going to do the swanton off the top of the pillar onto the apron.
But he never rolled back in.
Elias went for the guitar, and that was pretty much where the match kind of fell apart.
Wasn't it great?
What was in the Miz? We had quite a popular social media post on this. I put one out basically asking, what's everyone's thoughts on Otis or the Miz? How do they compare against previous Money in the Bank winners? And I had people up there like Edge, RVD, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton,
Seth.
Some of the best, Dolph Ziggler. Some of them are historically some of the best cash-ins. For me, the best cash-in or two best cash-ins are RVD at One Night Stand 2006, because he let John Cena know in advance. And also Edge's at New Year's Resolution 2006 when he won his first world title. But what do you think of The Miz now being Mr. Money in the Bank and Tucker screwing over Otis?
Totally unexpected, by the way. I didn't see that coming.
No.
I don't know if you might have.
No, I didn't. I've been sticking to this storyline closely purely for the fact that I think Otis is funny. And past SmackDown on Friday was hilarious when they'd done the courtroom with JBL as a lawyer.
And Ron Simmons.
Ron Simmons, yes. Yeah, and Teddy Long was somewhere in there as well.
He was just a random court official. Yes, it's like.
And then Asuka comes in and starts speaking random Japanese, and they're like, did you get that? And he goes, every word.
I totally understand that.
But no, that was funny, but they've wanted to get the briefcase off Otis for a while, but Vince is a big Otis fan. Otis has never got to be a legitimate world champion anytime soon. But is The Miz the right man to take it off him? The finish was a bit poor in terms of timing. It felt like Otis was hanging over the middle rope for about 5 minutes before Tucker decided to pick up his packed lunchbox. And hit him in the shoulder. I'm not a Miz fan, but Miz to me is just a conventional Vince wrestler. He was once an entertainer before he was a wrestler, and he's evolved into a wrestler.
I didn't have much on that match in terms of anything. I didn't know if I could pick somebody else to put in to take the Money in the Bank off was. I couldn't tell you who, but I didn't think.
Didn't get me started. I think I could, but. Do you see The Miz, because he's only, I want, this is another question, does his Money in the Bank contract out year now start from when he won it, or does it start from when Otis won it, which means then he's got the same amount of time, which is just a month past Mania, and do you see him beating Randy Orton or Roman Reigns for the world title, or is this Money in the Bank briefcase going to be null and void and they're going to have a failed cash-in? Nah. I think failed cash-in,
absolutely. I think the rules are that he lasts for a year. So as soon as you win Money in the Bank, you've got 1 year from that day to cash it in. So I think his would start now. So he might have it for a while. They might put him in the background.
They do that a lot with Money in the Bank. Previous winners, they kind of go on like the mid-card where they float about, or they just kind of disappear into the ether until it's time to kind of appear.
They keep promoting the fact that they're Money in the Bank, like they're Mr. Money in the Bank, but then they don't bring them to the forefront. They just sort of leave them. So I think it'll be failed. 80% historically have been successful, and he was one of them.
Yeah, he was, and he was. I hated him as a world champion. Not because I hated him as a good heel. I just didn't like The Miz. He's a good talker and like that, but he's just too generic for my liking.
So failed cash. Whenever it happens, failed cash, and he's no beating either one of them. Put it that way.
Sasha and Bayley.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
By the way, absolutely brilliant.
I said that to you. I said, like, I did give you a wee comment. I said, match of the night. And you were like, you replied to me just saying what? I didn't give you any details. I didn't even think I said Sasha and Bayley, though. I think I just said match of the night as I was watching it.
Right.
What do you think of that?
Mate, what did I not think of it? I couldn't believe it. Like, it was so entertaining. Like, less than 5 minutes, there was weapons out.
And it wasn't the weapons for weapons' sake to a degree.
Nah, like, and they used like the atmosphere around them very wisely, like putting kendo sticks into the steps, and
drop toe hold, catapult.
Right through stuff, and
Was it that put that match together? I think it was Jamie. I think it was actually Tyson Kidd that put that match together with him, his agent. Natalia's boyfriend or husband, so. props to him for putting that match together and helping the girls put that match together, because it was really, really entertaining. I thought they two working together, you can tell they know each other like they're best friends in real life. They came through their days at FCW, NXT, and now here. I thought this was WrestleMania caliber kind of match that you'd like to see.
Aye, if they can beat that, that'll be incredible.
Yeah.
No, seen the last of Bayley. She was champ for 380 days. So
I would definitely, if you've not got the time to watch the whole show, if I was going to cherry pick anything from Hell in a Cell, I would definitely be going to watch Bayley versus Sasha. Some incredible spots. Just another spot to call it is that outside the cell, Bayley is trying to set up a table and Sasha grabs at her end and starts like pushing her into the cage until she kind of collapses on the table, and the table's kind of propped up on a slant like a ramp, and Sasha does like a run up the table like a ramp and does like a double knees meteora into the cage. I just thought that was a good spot, and the finish was excellent.
We both picked Sasha to win that purely because it just seemed as if she was going to, but I've not seen the last of Bayley, but definitely an amazing match for sure.
Yeah, so definitely going to give that a listen or a watch even, sorry. And then we had the Retribution Slapjack versus Lashley. I'm not even going to touch upon that because the name Slapjack does my nothing as it is.
He's got a rubbish mask and he's got a slap crack back. He's got a bad back.
Aye, and he will have a bad back after Lashley put him in that hurt lock. Main event. Randy and Drew.
I don't know.
I predicted this right.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I went Drew, but I just, like, Randy was going to win it at some point. I just didn't think it would be right now. But aye, it was a good match, to be fair. It wasn't my favourite of the night.
No.
But and I think when they went up on the cell, and they were down 2 seconds later.
Very anticlimactic.
Aye, like,
it was too late in the match. I think the match again, it went 30. They both worked really hard. I think Randy Orton looked brilliant. You can see why Randy Orton's a world champion material. Drew looked good, but just Randy, his precision and doing stuff. There's a part that I didn't appreciate for Randy. He's grinding Drew's face into the steel cage. Did you pick up what he says to him?
Nah.
He's like, "Oh, I see Drew as a big Scot getting his ass kicked as he's grinding Drew's face." And the whole part of that match was he's working on Drew's previously broken jaw. Simple storytelling.
It was a big Scot that got smashed. But it was a good match, I think, when because they went up, it was probably too late on. They could have done something earlier. They could have spent a little bit more time up there, made it a little bit more exciting.
Look how it started. Orton attacks him dressed as a cameraman or something.
Well, usual story.
But then what could have worked out there, a simple way to get on the top of the cell could have been simply by Drew getting the better of him at one point, Orton running and climbing up the top of the cage to start the match.
Well, aye, because they went round. Obviously, the match can't start until you go inside both of them. So they went round and I think Randy cleared the table.
Aye, beforehand. And that's what I've wrote. That was clearly the purpose of that.
But you're right. I never thought about that until you said that there, though, that I think he surprised them outside the cage, or the cell, rather. And they could have went up before it had even started and that would have got a massive, a push on the match, I think. So
I think that, and again, that's just the reason I've done it, because it would look stupid if Drew fell off the top of the cage or the middle of the cage and then went for an announce table that was already set up for him without showing that it was actually taken down. But the only thing I didn't like about this match was the finish. For me, if you want to be a heel, and a really, really, a heel that gets really bad, like heavy heat, for me, a heel should be winning through doing something really, really disgusting that is gonna cheat, whatever it might be, just the conventional old school way. Whereas this was more like a clean finish.
It was just like a sort of normal match, because he rolls under him, he goes for the Claymore kick, which is Drew's finisher. I thought it was quite cool how he rolled under. It looked really, really good.
And Drew still sold the Claymore as if somebody was still there. He was kicking.
Aye, because he landed right on his arse. He's got a bad bum now, sure. But the RKO was terrible because Drew
landed on his shoulder.
Aye, Drew basically fell down like Vince McMahon does with a stunner. So
What, straight?
Right.
It's like a
blanky
win.
So, it wasn't great. The way he rolled under was, it looked good, but the actual finish, you could have, done exactly what Roman done to Jay and just leathered him a wee well.
Aye.
But
I think, right, I'm a big Drew fan. We spoke about it was our superstar of the week last week. I think there were no better person right now on the roster, on any roster, to really be able to take the title off of Drew but still keep Drew's credibility there than Orton.
Nah, Orton's really, really good. Like,
he's a 14-time world champion. I think it's 14 times as WWE champion, 4-time world heavyweight. Big Goldie, bring it back. We'd love to see that come back, that belt. And by the way, when we say, didn't he say belt, we'll get on to that in another episode. But there is a list, if you go out there and Google it, Vince McMahon does have a specific amount of words that these superstars
are banned
from saying. So you can't say wrestler, belt, loads of different stuff, and some of it's quite ridiculous, but it's funny.
That's why we reference it, because it's good. But
so, the show in general, Danny?
Overall, enjoyable, like, I think, to be honest. I quite enjoyed watching it. There was a good mix of matches, and the outcomes, but obviously I went for Drew that time, but aside from that, everything was kind of went as expected, but it was still enjoyable. So, and it'll be good to see what happens next as well.
Yeah.
There's obviously storylines in there, like the Roman and Jay.
I think that's done now for day two anyway.
Well, it's done.
Well, them two, like in terms of Jay and Roman, I can't see that going any further forward right now.
Aye, there's something there, obviously, but we'll see what happens, really.
I thought it was a really good show. I enjoyed it. I thought some of the matches that weren't good were really, really poor. Otis, Jeff, Slapjack. And I don't ever want to say anything bad about Jeff, but you can only play the game of cards with the hand you're dealt, and unfortunately he got dealt Elias. But overall, thumbs up for me in terms of entertainment, and it was spread out well. So.
Aye, great. Get if you haven't watched it and you're listening to us, we definitely advise catching up with the Hell in a Cell.
Especially the Hell in a Cell matches.
Yep, for sure. Quickly cover Raw.
Yeah, we'll quickly cover Raw last night. It was very bleak for a Raw for me in terms of overall. I wasn't blown away by anything in particular. Nothing got me out of my seat, nothing.
Nah, to be honest, I don't really have much on it, in all honesty. Like, it's there was obviously the Orton and Drew bust up that would always happen after a main event anyway.
When the Fiend appeared at the end as well, so it's almost like it was only like the moment of bliss, which you probably think was a highlight, and I like the fact that Orton was like, where is the Fiend? I know you're gonna try and Judas me in a way.
Aye. And then he turns up and then Randy Orton just patches him completely.
Aye, just walks away, doesn't he turn around? But I like that, he was like, I'm not turning around because I know I'm just gonna get the fingers in my throat.
Aye, it's like, I'm not interested. After Drew.
What I did like though was a Firefly Funhouse. I'm always entertained by that.
Well, I think Bray Wyatt is incredible. Like, he plays his character brilliantly. He's just nuts.
Aye, Offie's absolute rocker. If you're from Scotland, there's a word we use. It's called a Raj.
Aye, a Raj.
Basically, someone who's not quite right, and that's the best way to describe Bray Wyatt. He's kind of dressed like somebody from Alice in Wonderland on the one last night, but then Alexa Bliss. Is there, and Alexa Bliss has her own gloves now. She's got her own white gloves.
Oh, right.
And he has hurt and heal. She's got play and pain.
Nice.
So I think that's a really, that's really cool. Good. I think that was probably a highlight for me.
You'll get wrestling knowledge here, as well as Scottish speaking lessons as well. So.
Yes, aye. So if you don't understand us now, you probably never will. Drew took out the Miz and Morrison when they try to come down. Miz is wearing a horrendous blue suit and tries to antagonise him.
Aye, I don't know, because they had a match.
Aye, and Drew leathered them.
Drew smashed them, which I wouldn't expect any less. So how the Miz can possibly cash in successfully against somebody that's beating him, I don't have a clue.
He's just dropped the belt.
Aye, like, so. Drew's probably second best out there, clearly.
Yeah.
At the minute, but it'd be interesting to see.
I'd rather have seen Morrison with Mr. Money in the Bank. I like John Morrison.
I think he's a cooler character, eh?
Absolutely.
I think the Miz comes across the way he's meant to. Aye. But it's boring for me.
Aye. Like, whereas Morrison gives you good matches.
He's a bit more stupid. Aye. Like, and it's just funny.
Aye. Survivor Series qualifiers. I love Survivor Series. One of my favourite pay-per-views.
I love Survivor Series, but I'm not that happy that it's Raw and SmackDown.
No.
Like, I wish it was just teams. I don't know if...
Aye, when personal grievances, like a feud, like a world champion and a world champion, they...
Aye.
And it becomes that bigger thing where, like, you have the IC champ feuding with somebody and they team up, like, I'll go with him. And that was always the way of it. I mind it was Team Austin versus Team Bischoff in 2003. And it was like Shawn Michaels was a captain and it was...
I prefer that. But are they not doing it like champions versus champions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which to me, I think this would probably reflect better than Clash of the Champions, which has just been, but...
It's still quite good because I was always like the... Like Lashley against Sami Zayn just doesn't interest me.
No, it doesn't. Actually, it doesn't. And Sami Zayn's brilliant. Lashley's good for his own right, but together.
But Orton and Reigns, when I thought about that, I was juicy. Like, it was clash.
Juicy.
It's a juicy clash.
Oh God. One thing I'm not chuffed with is Matt Riddle again took the loss to Sheamus. I think Sheamus has been a bit so long. Does he really, really need to take a spot for Matt Riddle here? And it's no Sheamus' choice, obviously not.
Nah, but to be honestly, like, I think unless they've got something planned for Riddle,
which I don't think Vince does right now, doesn't know what to do with him.
Nah, I don't. I mean, I don't personally like him. I know you do. But
I'm a massive Matt Riddle fan. I think he's legit. I think he looks good. His character's quite cool.
He'll probably grow into something really good.
He's shit hot in the ring. Like, his wrestling skills are brilliant. And he wants to retire at Goldberg, which I'm all for.
Yes. But Sheamus hasn't really got much going for him. But
nah.
It was the same way. Well, no, it's not the same. It's completely different, actually. Elias and Keith Lee. Elias obviously lost to Keith Lee.
Due to Jeff.
Aye.
Jeff's music hit, but that's purely because Elias... Well, to be fair, Jeff lost clean again to AJ, and this seems to be the way WWE are going. Vince is booking his heels winning clean, which is making his baby faces look worse because they're getting beat clean.
Aye.
So it's not like Elias maybe like strummed his guitar and distracted Jeff, and then Jeff got him back. It was like Jeff lost, Elias attacked him, and Jeff gets him back later in the night because he's bitter.
Aye. But I think, obviously, Elias and Jeff are going to be doing bits, so they put Keith Lee into the Survivor Series.
Side note. Jeff actually came out after Hell in a Cell and said that he's got two accomplishments he wants to achieve before 2024. To be WWE champion one more time and Universal champion and main event Mania before then. Do you see it happening?
Yes.
I would like to think so.
I do. I think he's so talented and he's definitely still got in his locker. I think him and Orton would have a great match.
Aye.
There's very, very different styles, obviously, but...
Speaking of styles, him and AJ always have a great match.
AJ gives everybody a great match.
It's just AJ. I don't like this new bouncer that he's got with him, Jordan, the guy for the developmental, but that's a whole other story that I'm not getting into that. So, Survivor Series qualifiers for Raw, we've got AJ, who's petitioning to be the captain. I'm probably likely going to see that be the case. You've got Sheamus and Keith Lee. I don't know who else potentially from Raw that could get added in there.
There's two more, right? There'll be two more left.
Teams of five. I'm expecting, obviously, Big E for SmackDown will be involved there.
To keep him relevant now, keep him going.
Who else for SmackDown for Friday could potentially get put in there that we're left for looking at? I've just had a complete and utter mind blank.
Aye.
Anyway, that'll be Friday's news, but...
Move on, we'll go past the mind blanks.
Retribution really needs to give it a rest, though.
It's just rubbish, yeah.
It's terrible, man. I had high hopes for it when it first came, the first couple of weeks, until a guy pulled a chainsaw out. What?
Christ.
Who the fuck is Chainsaw Charlie, man?
Well, there you go.
I know that you don't know who Chainsaw Charlie is. It was Terry Funk's persona in the late Attitude Era. Late 90s, he used to wear a set of tights with flour over his head and come out with a chainsaw, but...
Was he not really a Chainsaw Charlie in ECW for a while?
No, he was just a funker. The crazy funker. Old funker, aye. Funk you.
He's a crazy old funker.
right, okay, so... That's Raw, that's Hell in a Cell. Looking forward to seeing where it goes. Survivor Series on the horizon. What we're looking to do now is we're actually going to transition and go over our Intercontinental Championship Fantasy Tournament. We set this tournament up last week, Danny.
Yeah, we set it up. I think we mentioned it on last week's episode, and then we popped it up on the social media or on the Instagram, and it was basically just myself and Bradley came up with Intercontinental Champions of years gone by into a random tournament for a bit of fun. We just said names, pitted them against each other. You've probably seen them on the social media. If you haven't,
the results will get posted tonight.
Yeah.
In terms of who actually won the tournament, or tomorrow, sorry, when we actually go live.
First round, isn't it?
Yeah, it was the first round, so it was a tournament of 16 superstars to start with. Match one, we had Triple H versus Chris Jericho, both former Intercontinental Champions.
So will we go match and who won?
Yes.
Right.
So, who do you think won that one then, Danny?
Well, I mean,
well, you know who won it.
I do know who won. So I'm just sitting here lying about it, but I think what I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jericho.
Yes, Jericho won. It was 61% of the votes versus Triple H's 39%. We got a resounding 82 votes on that match in entirety, so which was really, really good. That's so brilliant. We appreciate it. So thank you very much for participating.
I think he was always gonna win.
Yeah, I think so, especially the fact that I put a picture of the blue blood Triple H up as well.
It was like, if it was a DX picture, he might have done it.
Didn't carry the belt there, though. Well, it was just after days. China bit, to be fair. Second match was Owen versus Brett, Clash of the Brothers.
Bret Hart and Owen, yes. Hart, by the way.
Identical score results in the first two matches in round one. So Brett takes it at 61 versus Owen's 39. I seen that coming anyway. So Bret Hart steps forward with Chris Jericho from the first matches. Goldust versus a Macho Man. It's a landslide for Macho Man Randy Savage. I just thought that would make a good match in real life. The glitz, the glamour, both of them being quite flamboyant. I thought the entrances alone would have been brilliant to have watched.
Aye, it's one I couldn't see Macho Man losing, to be fair. But
no.
Aye.
But I'm surprised. There's a lot of Goldust fans out there.
What was the percentage? 29% of you are crazy.
Next match, even worse, the next one. Honky Tonk Man versus Jeff.
Honky Tonk Man and Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
It's a terrible match.
79% of the votes go to Jeff.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Cause I think people thought I'd put a photo of Elvis up, to be honest. So
people.
Somebody actually messaged me, I'm sure, saying, who's the Honky Tonk Man? It was my friend Ryan, so.
Well, he's useless.
So we've got Jeff advancing along with Macho.
Ryan, you're not useless, actually.
We've got Dolph Ziggler versus Ricky Steamboat. Now, this would be a great match on paper, and actually in the ring they would have a showstopper of a match.
Great movers.
Movers?
Great movers. When they move well in the ring.
Dancers.
They can dance if they like.
And in that match, we had Steamboat take it by 63%, so it just shows you that the Dragon is still relevant. So he moves on to the next round.
That is excellent, actually.
The next one is The Rock versus Razor Ramon. Again, that'd be a brilliant match back in their day.
Aye.
Both swagger, both like wear chains, they both love themselves. And The Rock took it by 73%, and I'm not surprised.
The Rock's popularity would win there anyway, but Razor was a good IC champ, to be honest.
A shame that he can't get off his couch nowadays.
Somebody had up and mentioned Scott Hall by
do you not mind watching Mania when it was Sting versus Triple H and DX came down and I said to you the NWO got to be next and you went Scott Hall would need a bus to get down to the ring. But next minute the music hits.
Oh, he eventually gets there.
Moving on. The Warrior versus Mr. Perfect.
Oh my god.
This one ebbed and flowed for a couple of hours at least before before it ran out of time.
Just to give you a little bit of background information on this, we put that up and Bradley messaged me about it and I sent him about 10 minutes after it went up, the Warriors won. And he's like, no, you stupid bastard, it only went up 10 minutes ago.
Aye, so Danny was already trying to rig the competition there and then. And he's probably sitting with his Warrior face paint on the note. But Warrior took it in the end. The last couple of hours were pivotal. So yeah, the Warrior won by 58%, and the final match was.
Oh my goodness!
So Danny's away. He's just overwhelmed with emotion that Hellwig threw. The next one is, well, the last match of round one is Edge versus HBK. This one I'm bitterly disappointed by. I love both of them.
I don't
know. Clearly, but.
No, I like Edge.
HBK took it by 55%.
The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
So that means keep an eye on our social medias going forward tomorrow. We're going to keep doing these tournaments because they're actually quite fun, they're interactive, and they give us some fantasy matches or tournaments that we could never have got, or we might never have seen, or we maybe actually just want that match again. So just a quick recap, we've got Chris Jericho this week going up against The Rock.
Oh, that's tidy business.
We've got the Macho Man versus Shawn Michaels.
Oh my god, but it's getting tasty in round two, by the way.
Bret Hart versus Ricky Steamboat.
Well, Bret Hart's won that anyway.
Shut up. Only if you stop making fake accounts and voting.
That's for the Warrior.
And then we've got Jeff Hardy versus Ultimate Warrior, the Battle of the Face Paint.
Aye, well, I can't much face paint, I hope wins.
So,
Jeff, listen, why am I actually now?
We've got. We've got some really tasty ties coming up over the next sort of few days. Once this episode goes live tomorrow, keep an eye on social media as of Thursday, and you'll start to see them going up on our story. And again, let us know how you think the tournaments are going. Any sort of tournaments you would like to see going forward, any type of title, match type, stipulation, whatever it is, we're open to ideas.
Give us ideas, and we can run it for you, and we can give you mentions for it and stuff like that. And it'd be good to get a little bit of interaction, so yeah, that'd be cool. Yes, yes.
And speaking about interaction, so Danny's going to take over the next segment.
So, yeah, we're just going to sort of do a couple of shout-outs for some people we've been in touch with, some Instagram sites and stuff like that, that for you guys to check out, which would be pretty cool. First of all, we've got the wrestling figure photography. Straight away after sort of last week's episode, coming to the Nile podcast, we were in touch and sort of linked up with him over there. So
yeah, so that's, if you want to check the page out, it's wrestling figure, and that's all one word, _ photography. If you go and give those guys a look up on Instagram, you'll find plenty of high quality photos of action figures, pretty much wrestling action figures. The guy who runs the site's absolutely brand new. He's been in constant communication with us. He's just a friend of the show now. And again, go and check him out, give him a follow, link some of his stuff. Again, we're trying to support as many local people as we possibly can.
I like all his stuff. I think it's quite cool. I've seen quite a lot of pages that do that kind of thing. It's interesting to me because we collect figures as well.
We keep them
in the box. So it's nice to see the figures that we have, or other ones.
Articulated
in like match scenarios, things like that. So definitely give the wrestling figure _ photography.
I love seeing like matches reconnected, like recreated as well, like moments recreated when people do it really, really well, like what that guy does. So yeah, give them a shout.
So next up, we've got a couple of just wrestling figure pages that from collectors. So it's Fig Federation, all one word, _93. A lot of good stuff over there. If you give him a wee follow, he's got a lot of nice figures, always collecting, always looking at his collection as well. And you never know if any of you guys are collecting and want swaps or ideas on figures to get, things like that, places to get them from. Great person to follow, so go for that.
And we've also got Broken Basics. Again, Broken Basics on another Instagram for wrestling figures. The name says it all, the guy loves a basic or two, but no, if you go on his page again, he's got a lot of action figures, a lot of wrestling, it's just purely wrestling figures, and he's tailored to all sorts of genres, Hasbro, Jax, Classics. all the way up to Mattel Elites, as well as some really, really high quality belts as well. So they do some, he's got some customised belts on there as well, so give them a shout. And one of the big ones that we're looking to shout out as well is our local promoter, our local store, and that is Wrestling / Megastore, or Wrestling-Megastore UK. These guys are based in Glasgow, so about 45 miles west of where me and Danny are today. The guy there, he basically sells swaps and trades in high volume. He always has pre-orders up for some really, really interesting action figures. Myself and Danny,
buy from
him on the regular. Just to correct myself, there, it's actually wrestling_Megastore. Is that right?
Yeah.
So just to correct myself, there, I had Danny in my ear saying I'd got that wrong. So that'll be my fault there. But yeah, definitely give him a shout out and give him a look up if you're looking to buy any sort of wrestling figures or any sort of wrestling memorabilia. He has pretty much a good extensive collection, whether that's Lucy's or In Their Box. He's got some really good Hasbros that he always has weekly. I think you've ordered a couple of pre-orders off him, I've ordered a few off him. He seems to always get what you can't get here. Really, really worth a shout out and really, really worth having a wee look at. So that is Wrestling_Megastore UK. And that is us for our shout out. So again, go and pop those guys out. We'll put them in our stories when this episode goes live, just so you can get a straight link to them. Where are we next, Danny?
So thanks very much to everyone that we've just shouted out there, and hopefully our partnerships blossom going forward.
Yes.
So now a wee bit of fun, a little bit of Bradley's mind creation here. We're going to go for Wrestling Word Association.
I apologise in advance if this goes Pete Tong. Basically, me and Danny were sitting about a week ago. We're just kind of spitballing ideas how to make this a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more laid back and funny as well. And what we're looking to do here is Word Association. If you haven't played it before, basically what you say is, if I say to Danny McDonald's, he would say
burger.
There you go. And the purpose behind this is it's got to be wrestling themed. And we're going to try and create different ways of making it interactive and fun. And hopefully just you'll get to hear Danny's real laugh. And if you hear that, I guarantee you'll never hear another laugh like it. We'll try and keep it PC as much as we possibly can. We're going to be doing three rounds. We're going to probably say 5 seconds if you don't... Like, 5 full seconds, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But you've got to be as quick as you possibly can. If you stutter, if you say something that's not relevant, we'll both be honest with each other and kind of call each other out and say, that's bullshit, you're out. So, best of three, we're going to keep this going for a couple of weeks and see how we get along with it.
Right, just to clarify, I don't have any notes or ideas on this. You don't have any notes or ideas on this. It's purely organically coming out
off the cuff.
Right out of our laughing gears. So,
who wants to kick off?
I think, first of all, this is just going to totally fall to shit, but we'll just see how it goes anyway, because my brain sometimes isn't the best.
Your brain is bad, like.
So a bum.
Oh, God. Right, so I'll start. Let me just think of the subject that we'll start on. I'll start on a pay-per-view, just to give Danny a wee bit of warm-up to get ready and just so he knows where we're going. Okay. So, here we go. Royal Rumble.
Mankind.
Dude Love.
Cactus Jack.
Mick Foley.
The Rock.
Fast and Furious.
What? Not best on your head.
Right, we'll scrap that one.
Right, well, that's one to me then. Good grief.
That was our tester, so I completely knackered it, and it was my idea. We'll go with that one being the test result. Well, so
one of us had it. We'll just have to see what happens.
Just have to get comfortable with it, because it's one of them when you're looking at each other across a desk. Right, you want to hit us off this time, Danny. This is a real one. This isn't a practice run. Let's go.
Right, Stone Cold.
Stunner.
Fucking Vince McMahon.
Shane.
Hell in a Cell.
Undertaker.
Kane.
Inferno match.
Mask.
Fuck.
Yes. Went back one. That's a more one.
Yes.
Inferno match.
Right, so that'll be one apiece.
Oh my god, that was terrible.
Is that one apiece or 1-0 to me?
Aye, right then. How?
Right, okay, so one apiece. Right, so I'll start here.
I've got to wear a bed.
Right, let me think about it. Bret Hart.
Sharpshooter.
Oh god. Submission.
That was the one I was thinking of, by the way. Ken Shamrock.
Ankle lock.
Kurt Angle.
Moonsault.
Brock Lesnar.
F5.
F-U.
John Cena.
No! Too slow.
Right, so... 2-1.
That was terrible. How did I get something for John Cena?
We'll go best of five since we went through them really quick. So we've still got two more rounds. That's 2-1 to me.
It's difficult.
That is very difficult in the spotlight, trying to think it, right? So
try to keep it within wrestling.
Oh, it's challenging.
I could have said you can't see me.
I think the one that does you in is...
Blind bastard.
Right.
Composure's went for week one and week two, like.
Please tune in for episode three if we make it that far. Right. Round four. Ric Flair.
Figure four.
Four Horsemen.
Tully Blanchard.
Barry Windham.
Arn Anderson.
NWA.
Oh, Greg Valentine.
Greg Valentine. Dusty Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes.
Dustin Rhodes.
Gold Dust.
Luna Vachon.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Moonsault.
Jeff Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
Edge.
Lita.
Bed. No, that's me out.
Right, that's us. So what was the final score there then?
5-2, I think.
3-1 to me, because you wouldn't have been able to make it back anyway.
Okay, I've got a bad leg.
Oh, we were practising this the other day, and I think I said Taka Michinoku, didn't I?
I can't remember what I would have said, but it probably terrible.
Aye, so... That was probably a car crash, but at least you got to hear Danny's real voice.
Voice, laugh.
Laugh, sorry.
That was terrible, but you know what, it's all part of the fun.
Aye.
We didn't know what to expect, so no. You shouldn't either.
Trial and error. If you do come back the following week, we do appreciate it, we will pay you.
That will give you credit.
So. Where did they get Luna Vachon fit?
I don't know, but who did you say... Who did you even say? Who did I say?
You said Goldust, and I said Luna Vachon.
Were they together at one point?
Aye, she managed them.
That's just terrible.
So, moving on then, Danny.
So... After that car crash, since we both survived, we'll be moving on to our Superstar of the Week. We're going to try and keep that...
theme going.
Aye, theme going. We kicked off with Drew last week. My personal thoughts on the way we done it last week, we probably never gave a good account of him.
Mm-hmm.
We could go more in depth. First week nerves. I'm probably going to say that next week.
Aye, it was the same with that car crash that we just had. We'll see if he's in the word car crash.
Aye, we'll come up with other things. Maybe word association can get binned, like...
It was all again trial and error, but at least you got to have...
I say Ben, you say Bag, I say Backland.
Bagwell.
Then he start. So yeah, so our superstar of the week anyway. This week's going to be Bam Bam Bigelow. So we will kick off. Do you want to start?
Why don't you?
I'll start. I will start with Bam Bam Bigelow. So yeah, pretty much what we're just going to do with our superstar of the week is give a little bit of our sort of own background, a bit of information, and pick a match of our choosing.
Yeah.
To kind of cover today, but then maybe you guys can go and watch it back.
Why did we even pick Bam Bam? It was just a name that was flung out there when we were sitting planning, weren't we?
It was probably, he came up in word association there, it was probably the same thing.
It probably was, so actually it came in beneficial because I know he's a completely different commodity for Drew last week.
Aye, 80s and 90s wrestler.
Yeah, the late great passed away at a young age.
He did, aye, that's one of my facts gone.
Well, there you go.
So Scott Charles Bigelow, known to the wrestling world as Bam Bam Bigelow. he was in the original WWF from 1987 till 1989. He was involved in quite a few matches with Andre the Giant. I'm sure a lot of yep. you will know who he is.
If you don't, go and look for him. Impressive big man, biggest man, or the giant in wrestling.
Aye. The probably the most well-known yep. giant in professional wrestling. So he had a few matches involving him. His last match before he left WWF, I think, was with Andre.
Yep.
And in his own words, he almost killed me.
So I know when he'd done his knee in. I'm sure he went. He was doing house shows with One Man Gang for a while around about that time as well. His first big pay per view match, though, do you know when that was? It's quite fitting to what we're actually coming up to.
Survivor Series 87, was it not?
Yes. And what team? Whose team was he on?
Oh, I can't remember.
Hogan's. He was eliminated by Andre, so there's
that
connection.
Andre, aye, that's right, aye.
So, yeah, he was part of Team Hogan in the first ever Survivor Series in 1987.
Do you know what? I can't remember what the year was, but you know how you asked me last week what my first like early memory of wrestling was?
Yeah.
I said WrestleMania 8. There was a Survivor Series as well. I can't remember the year. I think it's 89. It might not be, but it's either 88 or 89. And Hogan and the Warrior are in the same team, and that was one of my earliest memories as well. But that was not the 87 that Bam Bam was in.
Nice.
So yeah, and after 1989, when he left WWF, he went to Japan. Actually, he was wrestling over there. He became the tag team champions with Vader.
Yeah, IWGP tag team champion with Vader.
Over in Japan, so
he became really popular over there though for a while. I think he went over there like remaster some of his own wrestling skills. I think he was quite young. He was actually a lot younger than what people assumed. So I'm thinking like what? He died at age 45. 45 year old, and he died in 2000 and I'd need to get back to you on that one. I think is it 4? No? Later than that. 2007?
I thought it was actually 6, but
I think it's around about that time. Right. He's been gone a while now, but he definitely died far too young. And I think if we're going back to 87, he would have only been like 26.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big man, very athletic big man, one of the most athletic big men of his time. Whatever.
Moonsault backflips and
yeah, just and the way he would take a bump and all. So, what match have you got that you called out for him?
Yeah, so I've picked his King of the Ring tournament match against Bret Hart in 1993, which was the final. Actually, he'd already been past Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the first round of that.
Was that the first ever King of the Ring?
Yes, because Bret Hart was the first ever King of the Ring.
I thought so.
So 1993 King of the Ring against Bret Hart. He beat Jim Duggan in the first round, which I'd actually forgotten about, and I've seen that pay per view a million times. Then he got a bye in the second round, so he had a second round match. And Bret Hart had,
which makes it quite difficult to watch on the network, that match, because it doesn't exist on the card. So when you click on the main match, you expect it to be Bret versus Duggan, I don't know why, and then actually the match comes on and Bigelow comes out.
Aye, so, yeah, and Luna Vachon, like we mentioned in the word association, was Bam Bam's crazy manager. good match. Bret Hart, if you must be aware, he's a great technical wrestler, and Bam Bam, for a bigger man, was great mover, great around the ring. He's very, very... Quite technical as well for a bigger guy, and for a guy like Brett, like with his moves, he does like the leg sweep and things like that. It was, they had a great sort of technical match, I think. Anyway,
no, I would agree. It was a good match. Went quite the good about what 20 minutes.
It was about 20 minutes because it actually stopped. Well, never stopped.
False finish.
Aye, I think, Bam Bam. Well, there was interference from Luna.
Yeah.
And Brett was pinned by Bam Bam. Bam Bam thought he would win. And a referee came.
Errol Hebner.
Errol, was it not Dave?
Dave Hebner. They both look alike. You don't know who they are. The Hebner brothers.
The referees, anyway. But he runs down and says, no, it's got to continue. It's got to continue. And then Howard Finkel says, you've reversed the decision. He reverses the decision. So the crowd go mental thinking Brett's won, and then the referee's like, what are you talking about? So the match then continues, and Brett ends up on Bam Bam's shoulders, victory rolls him.
Really good victory roll for the size of him. Like, I was impressed with how they go over so well. Like, Bam Bam takes a victory roll so well.
Aye, so that was... that's pretty much it. He's not in the WWE Hall of Fame, actually.
No, not yet. I think one day.
I think he should be. He's had two stints, weren't particularly long. He also headlined WrestleMania 11
with
an American football player.
And he carried them quite well in that. The match that I've got, there's actually two that fondly stick with me for Bam Bam Bigelow, is his days in ECW. So when he went to ECW, he joined up with Shane Douglas and Chris Candido as part of the Triple Threat, and that was like WCW's slap in the face to the Four Horsemen. Shane Douglas was kind of like his mouthpiece. He was this big man that came in. He was quite popular, quite famous, and he had a match, Living Dangerously at Asbury Park. It was called the Beast of the East, and Asbury Park was where he was from.
Yeah.
And he's fighting Taz.
That's his nickname, eh? Yeah. Beast for the East. That came. Where did that come from? Was that Japan as well?
No, that was from his days with Jerry Jarrett.
Before WWE.
Jerry Jarrett gave him that. So Jeff Jarrett's dad, when he done Mid-South with Jerry Lawler back in the 85-84 days,
aye,
he gave Bam Bam that name, and it's stuck with him ever since.
Oh, because he wrestled under a Russian name.
Aye,
and that's
aye,
what he was given it for. Aye, that's right.
So yeah, Asbury Park, then... ECW Living Dangerously 1998. Awesome match. They've got two matches against Taz. Taz is quite a small guy, but he's big at the same time, if that makes sense. If you don't know who Taz is, just go and have a look. Human suplex machine. Very, very good in his ECW days. Kind of petered away in his WWE days. Too many injuries, but they have a hell of a match. The match ends with Taz putting the Taz mission on Bam Bam in the ring. And Taz is so small compared to Bam Bam's sheer size that Bam Bam's walking about the ring with Taz on his back. Taz goes to reach for the Bam Bam goes to reach for the top rope to kind of like, and Taz yanks him back. Bam Bam comes off his feet, and they both go through the ring.
Aye.
They both go clean through the ring, and the fans are just completely in awe at it. And then all of a sudden, after like 4 or 5 minutes, pure pandemonium, Paul Heyman, all the guys, Tommy Dreamer and all that, they're all out. And Taz just kind of crawls out of the rubble. Like, it's like he's just crawling out of hell.
Uh-huh.
And he gets made the victor. They have another match a few months later in August at Heatwave 98. It's for the unrecognised FTW Fuck the World title that Taz introduced himself. They have another brilliant match, ECW rule style match, kind of brawl everywhere. That match ends when Taz goes for the Tazplex on the ramp. The way that ECW used to do a ramp was it would start from the ring apron all the way, and it wouldn't be like a ramp that you would, if you know what I mean, if you're with me, it was like a bridge. It was like a bridge, and Taz goes for the Tazplex on the the ramp and they go through the ramp. So kind of similar. Not as impactful as the first one with the ring, but again, for me, they stand out.
Definitely look up these matches because they are interesting. It'd be good to get a wee idea of what we're actually talking about as well.
And he's also had some excellent figures in his day as well, Bam Bam.
I don't have one. I would love to get one.
I don't have one currently in my Elite Mattel. I was outbid last minute for the Legend series Bam Bam. I did when I was younger, had a Jack Classic one of them though.
Was he in, what gear was he in?
He was in his Orange Flames, not the Purple Flames, which would be nice to have.
Funnily enough, I think the gear that he was in, in fact, for definite, the gear he was in with the match I was talking about against Brett in that whole tournament, he had the purple on.
I prefer the purple.
But he wore grey and black in ECW, I think, is it in the match?
He wore a bit of grey and black Flames, and the Flames were an homage to the Flames tattooed on his head as well. And then he wore obviously purple, and the original Flame colour as well. But no, he was a random superstar of the week, but very, very underrated from a lot of people, I think.
He never had a lot of time, and I think his time in the WWF was a bit shit, to be honest, because he got put out of... it was the WrestleMania 4 or 5 tournament.
Ah, that was at the Eliminator tournament for the world title. WrestleMania 5. He got counted out.
Against the one man gang, and he lost to him right until he ended his career again. It was a bit of a... I think he was wrestling with a lot of injuries, but he was just getting beat off at people that he would never normally get beat off. And then you have matches against Taz that are like fantastic, and then the
Bret Hart
against Bret Hart.
I've not seen much of his Japan days, but I can only imagine him and Vader and an athletic big man, they would have been a great tag team.
I've not seen any of it at all.
I've seen bits and bobs, and you're talking clips, which are quite hard to find for IWGP and anything of that nature. But Superstar of the Week, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Aye, good show. Good choice.
We're moving on now.
Yes, move on quickly to our passion.
Our figures.
And
we probably look back on last week and think we didn't give it enough time.
Aye, we kind of just skipped over it really, but it's all we ever talk about.
Yeah, it's all we spend our money on really. So this week's superstar, our figure highlight that we're going to talk about, was meant to be something else. We're going to keep that in the back burner until Danny decides to go and pick his up, or I go and pick mine up.
Here's a true story about this. Bradley and I got the same ones. Same day, and he was meant to pick them up, didn't. He phoned me last night to say you need to bring them, and I said definitely picking them up right as we speak. Messaged Bradley this morning. You're not gonna believe it. I've forgotten those figures. The response I received was prick. So sorry about that.
So that'll be next week's, hopefully, if both of us leave the house.
Yeah.
Oh, but this week we've kind of had to wing it and go for something different. We've got a big enough collection between the two of us, so we're going for the ringside exclusive Undertaker is Kane that released in June of this year.
Going up in it?
Absolutely not. Again, I will post a photo of this on the social media once this episode has went. We thought as well, actually, it'd be good to have some sort of conversation around any sort of Undertaker figures going over this month, because it is celebrating the 30 years of the Dead Man. Survivor Series is coming up. It's where he made his debut in 92.
See the clip that they've done with the, it's on the network. Is it on the network? It must be. And it's just shown a little few clips of The Undertaker over the years and stuff like that, and it's got Roddy Piper when he comes out on his debut, and because he's commentating on the Survivor Series that year, and he's like look at the size of that.
Ham hock.
It's ham hock, he says, but they've cut it out on the clips. I don't know why.
Look at the size of that ham hock. It's absolutely...
Look at the size of that ham hock.
It's one of the most famous lines.
Because it's the first time he appeared.
Aye. So we've got this very cool Undertaker as Kane. backstory on this figure was, it was Undertaker and Kane feuding back in 98, when Kane had just arrived. So in July 1998, tensions over the WWE Championship were higher than ever. Stone Cold Steve Austin needed a new number one contender for his WWE Championship. Mr. McMahon pitted WWE's most sadistic monster, Kane, and Undertaker and Mankind in a triple threat match. I'd love to watch that again. Yes. I might actually go back and watch it. Mankind and Kane waited in the ring for the dead man, but when Undertaker failed to appear, the triple threat match changed to a one-on-one, no-holds-barred contest. Whilst in the ring, whilst in the ring destroying Mankind with a chair and pinning him for the win, Kane started stared down the Texas Rattlesnake and removed the mask to reveal it was the Undertaker. So actually, Kane wasn't there at all. Undertaker had dressed as Kane, peeled the mask off after beating Mankind and stared down the Rattlesnake. So it was almost like Austin's worst fears had come true, and he was actually facing the Undertaker when he thought it was Kane. What's your thoughts on this figure, Danny?
I've got it as well, I think. This actually, to give a background on this for me as well, I had a fair collection anyway, and then I kind of stopped because we were talking for a while and we sort of started that I bought like 20 or something like that in about a month. And then this was the first one that finally arrived. And this was the first one that kind of kicked it back off again. Because as soon as this arrived, I looked at it and I thought, right, I need to get more. Like, get my wallet out, by the way, buy more. So, right, it's got the two faces.
Got an interchangeable, two interchangeable, well, a mask is one of them.
And it's a head.
Interchangeable head to turn him into Kane directly.
And then he's got just his...
It's got the world title.
Painted face. Or it's got like the...
The eye makeup,
the black eye makeup as well. The actual image is on the side of the box as well. So, but I think, to be honest, if I could open, if I would open mine,
this don't you dare?
I'll open yours.
No,
mine's fresh. But if we were to open these, well, if I was to open mine, it would probably be my most favourite figure.
Yes, I'm probably going to second that. That came out. I think people sat on it too long when it was up for pre-order.
No, that was just my cane somebody sat on.
So when this came out, we got a pre-order on it for about £35.
Aye, I think so.
Which, if you look at the price of this now, it's up in the high 80s, close to 100, depending on who you buy from. So there were value to be made in this. And I think me and you pretty much knew when we seen it that it was one of them that's a rarity. The box alone looks like Kane's mask. So it opens up. For me, it's a really, really cool figure.
Definitely one of my favourites, 100% one of my favourites.
What other figure stuff are you looking at the new, Danny?
We looked at the... is it WrestleMania 37?
Yes, the four elites WrestleMania 37.
Shawn Michaels.
Goldberg with a universal title.
The blue belt.
WrestleMania 22, Edge for his match with Mick Foley in the hardcore match.
And then
China
as well.
WrestleMania 16, when she had the t-shirt cannon, I believe.
And women's champion, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So, have you pre-ordered them?
Yes, I've pre-ordered them, yeah.
Aye, I have as well.
I got the whole set for 115. Which isn't actually that bad, considering, again, their value will go up when you look at some of the ones within the set.
Aye.
I think they're due to arrive in December, so a lot earlier than the UK would actually see them.
I think mine might be later because we got them from different places, so I think mine's a little bit later. But
and they're a massive improvement on the WrestleMania sets for this year.
Oh god, that's definitely not something I want to talk about.
The only one I took from that set was Booker.
I've got
them all.
No, I've not got Matt Hardy.
No, I don't blame you because he's in the white gear.
I've not got Ronda Rousey either.
What? She's not in that set.
SummerSlam. She's SummerSlam.
Yes. Wrong.
Oh, wait. So who is it then? Is it
in that set.
She's SummerSlam.
No, Miss Elizabeth SummerSlam. So WrestleMania 36 sets. Booker T, Mick Foley, Kofi Kingston, which you've got all three of them. You just don't have Matt.
Was there only four of them?
And you get a build of Danny Davis with them.
Oh, Christ.
But this set that's coming out, I'm most excited about the Edge fact that he's got the baggy combats on, baseball with. But he pulled a Paul Ellering with, which I think is really bizarre.
It's a bit strange.
But it's Paul Ellering, which makes no sense, from 1992 SummerSlam, when he came out with the ventriloquist puppet with the Road Warriors.
Aye.
I didn't know why.
Aye, I don't know why. Paul Ellering is the Legion of Doom Hawk and Animals manager.
Aye.
Just as a bit of background to that, but yeah, pre-ordered to the Elite 82 Davey Boy Smith
build, which we never thought we were going to manage. I think I messaged you, didn't I?
In fact, I've actually bought two.
Yeah,
I tell you, I pre-ordered two.
Same, me too. So yeah, Elite 82, we're currently on Elite 80 just now in terms of what's starting to come into stores. Actually, UK didn't get Elite 80 in until start of November, according to some websites. But pre-orders go up on the Smiths website UK in advance. But from what we were reading for like some of the sources, and from what who we speak to in terms of the figure community, they were saying that the UK probably would not see any Davy Boys, which is really, really disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
He's the biggest British wrestler there's ever been, and for him to get an Elite, which is quite rare, and then it not coming to the UK is a bit of a slap in the face. But I don't even know what possessed me. I went onto Smith's website one morning, just because it seems to be the only thing my fingers type in is wrestling or wrestling figures. And I seen them there for pre-order, and I just messaged Danny. I was like, go on the website straight away.
I didn't believe you.
I didn't believe me. And then we've ordered.
Now we've got four between us.
Aye, so if you've not already done so, I believe he is still there. So go and jump on it, because again, he's not going to be about for long. You can grab him for £20. It's definitely worth it, because you'll double your money at least overnight.
Aye, for sure.
And he also comes with Matilda,
which is his bulldog.
So, really, really excited to have him. Also an Elite 81. It's 81 that the Jerry Lawler comes from.
I don't know, but whatever he's in, I'm getting it.
And he's just a throwback to what we were talking about earlier. First ever King of the Ring. Elite 81, their Collector's Legends edition that's coming out is the Jerry the King Lawler from King of the Ring 1993, when he basically assaults Bret Hart.
He interrupts his coronation because
he's a king.
His gimmick's a king, and Bret Hart calls him the Burger King.
Aye.
And that's why he kicks off.
And Jerry Lawler does a good job there, to be fair.
Aye, he smashes up the crown, and that starts a feud with him as well.
To be fair, I don't have any arguments for that kind of feud. It'd probably be quite interesting to go back and watch. But yeah, the Jerry the King Lawler, another one that we're definitely interested in. Also, Smith's website have now got up Unrivaled AEW Series 2. There's an improvement from Series 1. They're coming out between
the
10th of November and the 17th of November. They'll be in stores, so keep an eye out for them. You've got Pentagon, you've got Rey Fénix, John Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose with the AEW title, MJF, Hangman Adam Page and Dustin Rhodes. So it's a good set. Bad for my bank balance.
Not for mine. I probably won't pick them up.
What have you got coming, Danny? What are you due?
What am I due? A question you ask me every day. I don't actually think I've got anything on the way. I've got two Otis figures
that are
lost to the world.
Like his hopes ever being Mr. Money in the Bank again.
So, aye. But now that they've probably swapped, they're probably going to rise in value again.
Yes,
so,
Tucker and Otis, yeah.
I actually think that's it, apart from my pre-orders.
No, you've got Stunning Steve.
Oh, aye, he's a pre-order. Stunning Steve Austin,
who comes with the WCW Tag Team titles for when he was in the Hollywood Blondes with Brian Pillman and his WCW days.
Wait, there's a Rock coming out as well.
Yeah, there's not been any actual prototype images of him yet, which is quite strange considering they're going to start hitting shelves next month. What else have I got? The Walter is due. For those of you who don't know, Walter's the WWE United Kingdom Champion, as things stand. I actually got to see him wrestle in January this year at NXT TakeOver Blackpool 2. So it was him in the main event versus Joe Coffey from Glasgow. They had a really, really good stand-up, slug, like horse fest kind of big hitter match. And then, funnily enough, me and my mate Ryan were trying to avoid traffic, so we're like, Mom, we'll get out of here sharp the minute Walter had won. And all of a sudden, who comes running past us is the whole of Undisputed Era. So Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly and the whole building lost its shit. As did I. Because I was half cut. So definitely say go and watch that. But if you don't know who Walter is, he's got his first figure coming out. It's a ringside exclusive.
It's quite cool. I've not
the box
it up,
is cool.
It looks good.
And again, I think I'm only purely buying it because I've seen him and I actually quite like him.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah.
We collect.
Differentiate and you collect for different reasons, eh?
So, this time of year isn't great when you've got other festivities to be paying for.
Nah, exactly.
But it won't stop us, I don't think.
Aye, nice one. So, we'll quickly go over some random current news and then we'll look to wrap up.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for me, current news that I've got, going back to the Hell in a Cell, just a little side note, it was quite interesting. Drew McIntyre is a big fan of Shawn Michaels, apparently. And the fall that he took on the Hell in a Cell this past Sunday was actually an homage to the match you mentioned earlier. It was Undertaker versus Kane. Undertaker versus Michaels when Kane debuted at In Your House.
18.
Right. And Michaels took that bump off the middle of the cage for the table. So Drew actually asked if he could take that fall in homage to Michaels. So just thought it was an interesting side note.
I never knew he was a fan of Michaels. Can't imagine why.
Well, actually now not even more of a fan of Drew.
Nah, he's alright.
What you got, Danny?
Couple of random ones. I was looking up bets on Hell in a Cell. Do you know what, actually, just a quick fact. That time that we watched WrestleMania at yours, I put on a few bets. I'd never put on bets on wrestling before, and they actually all came in. I only won about £7 or something like that, but they all came in. And Drew, Roman and Sasha were the bookies' favourites for this week's Hell in a Cell.
So even the bookies got that one wrong?
Yeah, aye. And I thought Drew was going to win. And I should have put money on Orton just to cover it, but I never bothered, which was quite random. And another money-related thing. Jericho doesn't get paid any royalties despite him being shown on the WWE Network.
I'd imagine quite religiously as well.
He's
part of it.
Well, aye, he's there. Like, it's, and people play it all the time, probably. So, yeah.
That's quite surprising. It's quite surprising. You when you find out who gets royalties, and you're like, why did he get royalties and so on, so didn't he?
I'd love to
see how much the royalties are worth.
It'd be good to know the backstory though, because there wasn't a lot in it when I looked at it.
I'd honestly love to know what a royalty check looks like and how much it actually gets. So like legends contracts and stuff like that.
Aye.
But I'd like, wouldn't it? To be fair, think of the amount of wrestlers that are actually on the network. I'd hate to think they had to pay them every time they got viewed.
Well, there's maybe something in it with that, but when I sack you off this podcast, I'll then mention you. I'll make sure you get your royalties check.
Pay me in figures, by the way. Or giant straws.
I'll give you a broken Yokozuna.
No, thank you, by the way. I've got here as well. Undertaker is set to return at Survivor Series next month. Not to wrestle in a wrestling capacity and have a match, but because it's 30 years since we're celebrating the Dead Man, 1990, actually I said 1992 earlier, 1990 was his debut. 30 years of the Undertaker, so he is expected to return. I would like to think that he doesn't come back and wrestle. I think watching the Last Ride documentary, I was in tears at the end of it, and I'm not afraid to lie, like Alicia was sitting there and I was actually sobbing my eyes out watching it. It was quite heartfelt watching, I think it was the song at the end, just kind of...
Troubadour by George
Strait. Yes, a really, really good song. I thought that documentary was quite eye-opening to see the other side of the man that we've never really seen before.
He'll not wrestle.
No, and I think his Boneyard match with AJ was a bit... They made him look good. Made you feel like it was the old Undertaker, and he's never going to have the Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 26 match again. That's been and gone, and I think he's always going to clamour for that, but he's never going to get it, and that's just unfortunately the way it is. Father Time has caught up with him, but if he can come back in any capacity, any Undertaker is good.
It'd be good to even just see him
appear.
Maybe not even in character, do you know what I mean? Like, have his presence there, because he's quite a big...
Sitting in front row.
He's quite a big presence, like, in the locker room and stuff like that as well, so... Even just having him there, or something will happen. He'll not just turn up randomly, but something will go on.
If any is happening there, but I don't know who the Undertaker is. certainly going to look up. To me, the biggest, and the biggest there is ever, apart from Stone Cold, but in terms of longevity, impact on the business, respect, loyalty and respect, I don't think there's anybody higher than him.
No chance.
He gets called the judge, the jury and the executioner in the locker room. I think they've got such a thing called wrestler's court, and he was the judge. If someone stepped to the line, for example, Sean Waltman shiting in your handbag, or cutting off Michael Hayes' ponytail, or Ric Flair flashing and thinking he was going to, or Michael Hayes, sorry, going to piss on Linda McMahon on an airplane,
God,
thinking she was a lavatory, it would be Undertaker that would have to deal with it. So just a wee nod to him, I'm looking forward and hope that is true, that he is coming back for a wee cameo.
Brilliant. Well, that's all I've got anyway for the new situation.
Also, Ken Shamrock went into the Impact Hall of Fame. I'm not laughing and disrespecting the guy's career. I'm laughing at what Danny said earlier on about Shamrock, which we'll keep off there. But yeah, Ken Shamrock went into the TNA Impact Hall of Fame. He got a few nice messages for The Rock, Mick Foley. I can't remember who the other one was from. Bret Hart. They all done video messages for him, believe it or not. Which was quite weird to see WWE superstars on Impact TV. Especially The Rock. Impact to me is terrible now. I'd rather get inducted into the Hall of Fame than the corner show.
Because you're there all the time. To be honest, I do not keep up with TNA.
No, I don't either.
It doesn't bother me.
The only people I know that's there is Tommy Dreamer, because I like Tommy Dreamer. Brian Myers. And the Good Brothers, that's really it for me. Sammy Callahan, but I'm not overly fussed about TNA. It's died a slow death.
Aye.
And just on side news as well, going into what we're going to be talking about next week, Pentagon Jr. will take place of Rey Fénix in the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament, because Fénix did win. He did beat Penta, but Fénix really hurt his neck trying to do like a corkscrew Hurricane Rana. So he's unable to continue in the tournament, so Penta will take his place. So that's us for all we needed to cover today. Next week, Danny, what are we looking at doing?
We've got Halloween Havoc to cover.
Yes.
Actually, another pay-per-view, so...
That's tomorrow night.
That'll be tomorrow evening from as we're recording. And then we'll have the round two of the Intercontinental Championship Tournament, which this first round, not really any shocks, but the second round, juicy business, like, for sure. Absolutely, I'm so excited about it. I wasn't too excited until you read it, who won.
The matchups, yeah.
I was like, yes, the matchups.
Let me just quickly go back on that, really quickly, just while we're here. Before we wrap up completely. So matchups for next week in the Intercontinental Tournament, we've got Jericho versus The Rock.
Yes.
Macho Man versus HBK. Uh-huh. Bret Hart versus Steamboat. Jeff Hardy versus Ultimate Warrior. I don't know where it's going. Who's your prediction to win the tournament right now, Danny? Let's go.
My prediction is... I don't know. My prediction is...
Not the Honky Tonk Man, anyway.
The Rock. That was going against my initial
prediction. I'm going Jericho.
Well, that was my initial, but I just think I just think he's popularity, but we'll see. We'll see who people... I know who I want to win. I would want either Bret or the Warrior to win, but...
What we'll do now, actually, we'll talk about the figures we're going to cover next week, which is definitely going to happen because we're both going to have them. Is the WrestleMania flashback, Andre the Giant and Macho Man.
Randy Savage, yes. We'll definitely bring them on next week.
What WrestleMania was it when they came out again in the small rings? Was it 3?
They actually used that little thing
for a while, but it was anonymous with like Andre coming down at WrestleMania 3, wasn't it?
They all used it in WrestleMania 3 because they... Like the Junkyard Dog and everything came down it. Some people walked, I think.
Coco Beware, I think, didn't they give him one? Because he's useless.
Aye.
But, they come in really cool packaging. They're not elites. But they're better than basics, almost, if that makes sense. We've got the old basic, the old basic rotating ball arms. Just
once we've got them, we can.
But that's to look forward to next week.
And there'll be other bits as well. In fact, actually, before we go, I was going to do this earlier. I've got two little keyrings here. Superstar keychains, and they're unopened. I got one for myself and one for Bradley. But we're going to do a live opening, because I was saying when I got them the other day there,
that you hope you get.
I really don't want a shitter.
No, Danny's wanted one. I'm wanting back one.
And he's not there, so there's two here. There's 18 to collect. I'm not sure that we'll get them all, but
I'm not interested in getting them all. fucking give me one.
I'm letting you pick.
Watch me. I've definitely took up. See if I get the water.
No, you'll be giving me it back.
Indian give up.
I got the warrior. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I got Nakamura.
Oh, he's shit. He's a shitter.
No way. No.
I got the warrior. You fucker.
That was fixed, man.
No, I mean, you're not getting it. He's trying to grab it off me, by the way. Take that. That's a leaflet.
I got a refund for that.
Aye. Oh, yes!
No way!
Honestly! Wait, I can't.
You couldn't write that, honestly. This is not rigged at all.
I am glad that is live. Like, that is brilliant. What a way to end. Tremendous.
Oh, my word. See, I could have got a Jeff. I would have been happier with our showman. Jeff? Well, honestly,
I can't even believe
Ultimate Warrior is the only legend in the series.
And I've got him. He's my favorite. This is brilliant. What a way.
Right, this has ended well for you and poor for me now that I've got Nakamura.
He's a bogey.
Used to play for Celtic. Yeah, so plenty to cover next week. Continue to keep your eyes on social media, the CDTA podcast, or CDTA podcast on Instagram. Anything else from you, Danny?
Just that I don't need to collect any more keychains because I've got the one I wanted.
I'm going to end up bankrupt looking for a better one.
Right, well, thanks very much again for listening, and we will catch up with you on social media and then next week as well.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, guys.